Father, I thank you, Lord, for our gathering together for fellowship today. We give you, Lord, praise and give you glory. We declare, as always, that the entrance of your word brings light and it gives understanding to the simple. Even so now, let it be, cause that light to shine into our hearts, those revelation and understanding. And let your name be glorified as you inspire us this morning. Give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to be talking about the dawning of a new day. Our epic story. For you as a person, but also for WWG, you know, as a platform. So we are going to be talking about that today. I want to remind us of the epic series. I will be focusing on the E today in the epic series. Now, the epic series that we did last year, you know, taking the epic as an acronym, the E, P, I, and C. I think we've done the C just to celebrate and congratulations and so forth. We did that a few days ago. Today I want to focus on the E, which is the engage. You know, in order to encounter and experience this epic story, we must engage. So the E today is what I want to focus on. And I'll be talking about rules of engagement. That's right. And you got to bring your A game when we're talking about the rules of engagement. So we want to establish what that might mean. Let's settle that in our hearts. The rules of engagement, well, is actually to establish the kingdom of God in the hearts of men. You know, so kingdom of God here on earth, what are the rules of engagement for that? First thing we got to realize is we have been commissioned as soldiers. Now, the soldiers, anybody who's been in the military, they would understand me when I say the rules of engagement. But let's talk about it. Let's break it down today so we can all understand it. The first thing we want to see is challenge everybody to remember that we have been commissioned as soldiers. 2 Timothy chapter 2, you know, Paul begins to tell Timothy in verse 3. He said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, if you never thought about it before, well, think about it now. A soldier for Jesus Christ. And a soldier must understand the rules of engagement. Now, no man that warreth, if you're a soldier, entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Be trained, you know, in the things that you are called to be a soldier for. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You know, so we're talking to soldiers for Christ today. And if any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Well, athletes, you know, that compete, competition, there are rules for that competition. Track and field, which is one of my favorite. There are rules. There are some races where you must stay in your lane. You know, and if you don't stay in your lane, even if you cross the finish line first, you'll be disqualified because you did not stay in your lane. Relay races and so forth. There's a zone where they must pass the baton and different things like that. All kinds of rules. If you don't follow those rules, you know, just crossing the tape first, I mean, the finish line first doesn't mean anything. You might get disqualified. You know, so there are rules of engagement. You know, we are in a battle for the establishment of the kingdom of God in the hearts of men. And we got to know what the rules of engagement are. You know, when God spoke to Jeremiah, Jeremiah thought that he was a young man. He was, you know, trying to say, well, I can't do that. You know, I'm a small boy. This and that. You know, the Lord told him, well, you know, don't say that, but here's what I want you to do. He said, see, Jeremiah 1 and 10. Here are the rules of engagement that the Lord gave Jeremiah. See, I have set thee this day over the nations. Jeremiah was never a king. You know, he was not an emperor. He was not a president or anything you might call it like that. But God set him in the spirit realm. Said, I set you this day, I've set you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms. And you might think, can a man who is not a president or emperor, a head of state or any of these such things, can somebody actually be over the nations and be over the kingdoms? Well, absolutely. In the spirit realm. In the spiritual realm, God said to Jeremiah, I set you over nations and over kingdoms. But here are the rules of engagement. This is what you must do. You know, these things you must do. Right? First, you must root out all unrighteousness. Root them out. Now, rooting out doesn't mean, you know, use a lawnmower. Lawnmower doesn't root anything out. It just cuts, you know, things at the top. Well, you got to weed the thing out. Pull it out from the root so that it doesn't grow again. You got to root out all unrighteousness. Taking vengeance against all unrighteousness, root them out, you know, by the example that we ourselves will lead with. Got to root out, right? Now, there are some things that have been, you know, set in place in lofty places, dominating the minds of people that are contrary to righteousness. You got to pull those ones down. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of our God. You got to pull those down. And there are some things you must destroy. There are things you must throw down. These four things you must do first before you build and plant. You got to root out. You got to pull down. You got to destroy. And you got to throw down the kingdom of darkness. That's right. I mean, you know, this is a soldier's mission. They're engaging in this fight. You're not just coasting along. Some people actually think that, you know, this journey that we are on with God is just for us to coast along, or it's for other people to do the fighting, and it's not for you. No, it's for you as well. You know, Paul said, look, I fought a good fight. Well, are you fighting a good fight? Are you engaging? So we got to engage in the fight. Praise God. Military people understand that, you know, people, fighter planes, so those fight, you know, those fly those fighter planes, they understand that, you know, when they see an enemy plane, well, they got to engage. You can't just, you know, leave them and let them, you know, fly in the space where they're not supposed to be. They're out of bounds and out of limits. You got to engage and you got to shoot them down. Glory to God. So there are some things that are flying, you know, maybe flying our minds and different things and flying in our space, right? I don't belong there, you know. This is a restricted space. I don't belong. The devil likes to fly in restricted place. Restricted place of our mind. Restricted place of your life, over your family. Try to get in there and so forth. You got to shoot him down. But you got to engage, you know. So now, engaging, pull those things down, shoot them down, so forth. Then, when you got a clear ground, glory to God, you build and you plant. Hallelujah. Now, that's the process, that the rules of engagement that the Lord gave to Jeremiah. Jesus also talked about something in Mark 11 and 12. He said, look, from the days of John the Baptist, when he began to preach the kingdom of God, he said, well, this kingdom of God, you're not going to get it by just sitting on the sidelines and thinking that, you know, you're just going to get it. No, you're going to have to engage. He said, you're going to have to take it by force. Oh, praise God. You know, when you engage, when you take a territory, and you're going to set up your banners too. I'm going to tell you all about it in this lesson and message today. So remember, we are soldiers for Christ, and you must endure hardness, must be rugged. You know, you can't be a pushover for the devil. Soldiers are trained, you know, you go through endurance training like you can't believe. You know, they got to do all kinds of things, you know, and, you know, so if they're Navy SEALs too, they got to go underwater. They'll be able to hold their breath and hold their own under pressure. You know, soldiers must be able to hold their own. You know, you might be, you know, in a battalion and other people around you might have been shot down and killed. It might be just you between you. You might be the last man standing, but you got to hold your own. You know? And so you put it all out there and you hold your own. Whether you are the last man standing or not, you got to hold your own. It's our rules of engagement. Now, first thing, I'm going to tell you about seven different things here for the rules of engagement, spiritually speaking. You know, because this E in the epic story is to engage. Now, here are the rules of engagement. Number one, you got to know whose you are and who you are. You know, if you're a soldier, you got to know that I am a soldier. I'm in the military, United States Air Force. They're so proud. Marines, they're so proud. Navy SEALs, you know. Yeah, U.S. likes to boast that they got the biggest military in the world. I don't know. But, you know, got to be proud. You got to put that banner out there, you know. We are soldiers of the United States, soldiers of whatever kingdom. Well, we are soldiers of the kingdom of God. That's right. You know, that's the banner that we must fly and display. So you got to know whose you are. You know, you got to know who you are as well. You know, so these soldiers and all the armed forces, they got to know, you know, who's there, you know, on which side are you? You got to know that. Praise God. And, you know, that's what they do. They're trained to fight, you know, the enemy and to protect and to serve, you know, the land, you know, that they protect. So the first thing is to know whose you are and to know who you are. Now, in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, the Lord invited them. He said, look, you know, if you obey my voice indeed, then you will be a kingdom of priests unto me. Now, that's God's invitation for them to come on in, you know, and be in his cabinet. God wants them to be in his cabinet. You know, cabinet is the inner circle. Cabinet appointed, not voted in by anybody. Just appointed, you know, the head of state, the president, or whoever appoints his cabinet. So now, God wanted them, he said, if you obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. I've chosen you above all the earth. The whole earth is mine, but I've chosen you above everybody else. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Now, in this kingdom, we are priests. And we are an holy nation. Because we have the nature of God. God is holy. Now, the Lord told Moses to speak these words unto them. That was the invitation. The same scripture is quoted in the New Testament and repeated in 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9 was making reference to this same scripture. He says a little bit differently, but it's exactly the same thing that he's saying. You, he says, this time around, you know, it's just saying it point blank. You know, not saying, you know, if you are obey my voice or not, but it's just telling you who you are. That's right. You got to know who you are. You know, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. A peculiar people. So he's telling them now, you must show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness. You got to know who you are, what you stand for, what you represent. We got to know these things. In time past, he said, you are not a people. But now, you have obtained mercy. And you have become a people of God. So you got to know who you are. That's number one. And make no apologies about who you are. You know, who are you? You know, not what are you, but who are you? You know, most of the time when people are asked that question, they might be talking about what they are, what they do. No, it's who you are. You are a child of God, son of the living God. You are in his kingdom as a king and a priest. That's who you are. Now, what you do, we will define in a minute. But this is who you are. So that's the first thing we want to recognize. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, he also talks to us about, you know, Christ has made us unto our God kings and priests. So first of all, we're establishing who we are. He has made us, you know, redeemed us, you know, with his own blood and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. It's Revelation 1, 5 and 6. So that's who God has said we are. And we must make ourselves like that. We can't be otherwise, you know. You got to affirm what God says about you. Also in Revelation chapter 5, you know, we read in verses 9 and 10 the same thing. You know, when the Lamb had gone and taken the book, you know, everybody, you know, began to say, well, thou art worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof, for thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. Now, that's on the earth now. It's on the earth that we reign. We don't, you know, it's not in heaven. It's on the earth. Reign on the earth. Hallelujah. Now, listen to this. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3, we're still trying to establish the fact that, you know, what God has called us into and who he says that we are. He says, well, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us unto glory and virtue. God has called us unto glory. God has called us unto virtue. God has saying that we possess all things. So he has given unto us. That means we are possessor of many things. You know, so you got to know who you are. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 again introduces the concept of who we are. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The same thing like has given us all things. He has blessed us, you know, so you are possessor of many things according as he had chosen us in him before the world began. That we should be holy and without blame. So you are a holy nation. All these scriptures tie together. You know, we should be holy before him, Lord. This is who we are. And in predestination under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, now this has also made us accepted in his love. This is who we are. Ladies and gentlemen, this is who you are. You know, you are not a sinner. Now, You could be a sinner if you haven't entrusted your life into Christ and received his saving grace, and you are still a sinner. But if you have done that, and we call those people believers with a capital B, giving your life to Christ, you are on this journey with him, well, then God sees you as these things that we're talking about here. Doesn't see you as a sinner anymore. Sees you as his son and his child that has his image. And he sees you also as a soldier for Christ, and you've got a mission. We'll be talking about that here. You know, also in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, you got to know your position as well. You know, you got to know your position. If you don't know your position, well, you know, you're going to falter in this fight. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 says, you know, from verse 5, I say, we were dead in sins before. Right? But now he has quickened us, made us alive together with Christ, you know, by grace. We are saved. And he has raised us up. Not that he's going to, but he already has. Has raised us up together with Christ. You know, even as Christ was raised, together with my dead body, you know, he was raised and we were raised in him and with him. Even when we were dead in sins, he has now raised us up and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's why, you know, if you look at what God told Jeremiah, even though it was way back in the Old Testament when Christ hadn't even come, and you look at these things that we are reading in the New Testament, see that they are the same. God is saying to Jeremiah, I set you above, over nations, kingdoms, these different things. Well, these scriptures are telling us that God has set us in heavenly places and we own all things. He's given us all things. We have power in him, you know, to represent. Jesus said, yeah, you're not going to sit by on the sidelines. The kingdom of God suffered violence. The violent, the soldiers are going to take it. Now, that's what he said. And so that's number one. You got to know whose you are and who you are. Number two, you got to understand the mission. Now, these are the rules of engagement. I'm going to give you seven of these rules. Number one, know who you are, know whose you are. Number two, understand the mission. What is the mission? Well, the mission that Christ had is different than the one that we have. Kind of working together. But they are different. You know, he did something that we couldn't do. And we're going to do something that he's not going to do. We are going to do certain things. Now, Christ died for our sins. We cannot die for the sins of the world. We can't do it. Christ already did that. But there is a part that we must play. That part that we must play is what I'm going to be telling you about today. Now, some of us already know it, but it could be a reminder and a refresher or an enlightenment if you didn't really understand it. Now, the mission is to take back the kingdom and establish the kingdom. The devil bragged to Jesus when Jesus was in the wilderness, being led there by the Spirit of God to be tempted of the devil. The devil said to him, all these things are delivered unto me. We're told that he took Jesus to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. You know, and he told Jesus, well, all these things are delivered unto me. Well, that's a mission. Got to get these things back. Now, Jesus paid the ransom to get them back, but they're not quite back yet. But, you know, we are the enforcers and we must take these things back. You know, take back the kingdom. Now, what was the price that the devil wanted Jesus to pay? You know, and some people are going about things the wrong way. You know, submitting unto the devil. Some people even sell their souls and do all these things to think that they're going to gain anything. The devil is a double crosser. You're not going to get anything from him. You know, lead you down to hell is where he's going. You know, the way that Jesus did it, he said, my flesh is what I will give as a ransom for the life of the world. That's how you do it. You know, you cannot do it any other way. Now, when Jesus was faced with that temptation, he recognized, you know, that he had a mission and he knew what he had to do. And he was not going to take any shortcut. He's not going to bow to the devil. He's not going to do anything like that. He had a mission. He's going to go to the cross. He already knew that, you know, and he, in his mind, he knew what he had to do and he was focused. You know, so we must know in our mind what it is that we are supposed to do and be focused, you know, in our mind, just like Jesus was focused. When the devil told him that, he was dangling some things before the Christ in that temptation. I mean, to take you to a high mountain, show you all the glory of all the kingdoms in the world, you know, could be tempting. Well, that's why it was called temptation. But Jesus didn't fall for it. His heart was set on his mission. He knew what he had to do. Now, you can read in Matthew chapter 4, verse 9, and so forth like that. And also in Luke chapter 4, you know, where we're told that in Luke chapter 4, I think it's verse 6, Matthew chapter 4, I think it's verse 9, that the devil showed Jesus all these things and offered him, yeah, I'll give you all these things. But Jesus knew his mission. You know, we're going to get it back from the devil, but we're not going to do it the devil's way. All these things that the devil bragging, all these things are given unto me. Nobody gave it. He usurped it. Well, maybe Adam turned it over through his disobedience. Now, God handed Adam everything on a silver platter, if you want to call it that. Put him in charge. Say, Adam, you got this. You rule. You rule. Have dominion over everything. But you got to keep the word of God. Now, once you break his commandment, disobey, well, you're going to lose that privilege of representing him in his glory. He lost it. And devil came in there, stole everything. So the mission is to get it back. We must get it all back. And Daniel chapter 2 verse 44 will tell you, you know, the kingdoms of this world that we have today, at some point in time, the God of heaven shall set up his own kingdom. Glory to God. That will destroy all these other kingdoms. And his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom that shall never be destroyed. And it will not be left to other people. So that's coming according to Daniel 2 verse 44. And we are the ones that are going to hasten it. Make it happen quicker. You know, instead of sitting on the fence, we're going to get in the fight. Praise the Lord. Also in Daniel chapter 7. Many verses in Daniel chapter 7. Verses 13 to 14, verse 18 and 21 to 22, and then verses 27 to 28. All of these things, you know, talking about, let me just read some of them so that we understand the mission and the vision, you know, that we are supposed to be in. This is what God said in Daniel 2:44. I read, you know, that one to you. But in Daniel chapter 7, let's read some of them. Some of these things that the Lord said is coming. And who is going to possess these things? You know, that's the thing. Who's going to possess? Well, Daniel chapter 7, we read in verse 18, he says, the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and forever. You know. Now, in one place it said his kingdom shall be given to them. In another place it said they shall take it. So they must understand that it's in God's mind that they should have it, but they got to get up and take it. Just like in Revelation chapter 5, the lamb had to step out of the shadows and go and take that book. The book was there, but who can take it? Well, nobody, except one figure, a shadowy figure, came out of the shadows like that, a bloody lamb, but he stood up, and he was called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, and he went and took the book. And so we must take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and forever. You know, we got to understand that this is the mission. You know, and the promise is this. In verse 13 of the same chapter, he said, I saw these things in a vision. And the, you know, Son of Man came, and it was given unto him a dominion and glory and a kingdom, as his kingdom. And all people, nations, languages, everything like that should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, a kingdom that we shall not be destroyed. Now, he needs to engage the citizens of the kingdom as his soldiers to take the kingdom. That's the mission. Also, in the, you know, verses 21 and 22 of this chapter, he talks about the things again that he saw. You know, the Antichrist making war at the end with the saints, prevailing against them for a time. The Antichrist system too, down through the ages, all the mystery of iniquity in all these, you know, kingdoms of the world have been walking, you know, sometimes knocking down the saints and so forth. But he said, until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. Now the saints are going to deliver the judgment now. You know, and the time came that the saints possess the kingdom. And they're going to possess it. Praise the Lord. Also, we read in verse 27, you know, and verse 28, he said, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. Look at how he described all of that. That kingdom, the dominion, and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given. Glory to God. To the saints of the Most High. And they must go up and possess it. You know, two men said we're able to go up and take the place. The remaining ten said we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers. The people are like giants. But these two, Joshua and Caleb, they said, we can do it. Let's go up at once. They understood the rules of engagement. The other ten did not understand it. Rules of engagement, you got to go take it. Nobody is going to just hand it over to you. Even though it's in God's mind that you have it, the devil has taken possession right now. He bragged about it to Jesus. All these things are in my hands. You know? And then, what are you going to do? Are you going to get out of, are you going to get the prey out of the mouth of the lion? Well, somebody, a lion came and took something from David. A bear came and took something from David. And David was not going to back down from the lion. I'm going to back down from the bear. He's going to go after the lion. And he's going to go after the bear and take back what is his. That's right. That's how you do it. Praise God. You got to take back what is yours. Now, you can apply that spiritually or any which way you want. In the book of Psalm 8, I'm not going to read all of it, but it talks about this dominion that God has given us. And, you know, we've been talking about this for years. People have been talking about it for centuries. But when is it going to happen? Well, it's now. This is what is called the epic story. It's happening. It's starting. And it's beginning for us. But the first part of it, the E, is to engage. And so that's the second thing. You must understand the mission. Number three, you must know the enemy. Know who you are going to fight. Now, when they are training, you know, especially the SWAT teams, when they are training, you got to get it down to a science. So maybe you got to go, maybe the goal is for you to go in and out of there and it's 60 seconds or 90 seconds, you know, that you got to go in there. And in those time, you got to, they will have to train the SEAL teams. They have to train until they get it just right. If the goal is go in and out and get, you know, get the target, or maybe you are rescuing somebody, maybe you are destroying something. If it's 45 seconds and you do it and you got it done in 52 seconds, not good enough. You know, the goal is 45. You got to do it again. You got to do it again. You got to do it again. And while you're doing it, they're training them. You got to go in there. It's a surgical strike and you cannot strike down any innocent bystanders or somebody that does not belong. That's not the enemy. You got to know the enemy. So they spring up suddenly, these figures of civilians, you know, and then if you shoot down the civilian in the practice, then you are failed because you got to know the enemy, you got to target the enemy. A lot of people don't know their enemy. They're always saying somebody is doing this, somebody is doing this to you. Who is your real enemy? Is it the person that is doing something to you? People are always saying somebody is doing something to me. You know, you got to know the enemy. You know, Paul said it this way. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, people who are wrestling against flesh and blood, they don't know who their enemy is. Well, who's your real enemy? You got to know your enemy. So that's part of the rules of engagement. And if you don't know your enemy, well, Paul said, you'll be beaten out of the bush. You know, you'll be shadow boxing because you don't really know who your enemies are or your real enemy, you know. So wrestle not against flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 to 12. Put on, he said, the whole armor of God. As a good soldier, you got to dress up. You got to suit up. The time is here for you to suit up. You know, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality. You know, that's your enemy. Who's your real enemy? Well, let's read it in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. We're not fighting human beings. You know, Jeremiah wasn't, you know, those things that God told Jeremiah was in the spirit realm. You know, but who are we fighting? Principalities. These are spiritual principalities. You know, powers, spiritual powers. You know, rulers of the darkness of this world. Those are our enemies. You know, spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. How do they happen? Well, you're driving down. Boom! Blow out your tire or do something. Try to kill you. Try to take you out. That's a spiritual wickedness. And people are going about their day. Boom! Some accident happened. Boom! Some sickness happened. Boom! They have a, you know, some stroke or whatever. Trying to take them out. Spiritual wickedness in high places. But you got to put on the whole armor of God. What Paul was describing here was a soldier. You know, a soldier. Like the ultimate warrior. He's got all these things on. He was probably in the, you know, prison at the time looking at those Roman soldiers, how they got themselves suited up. And they were describing the same thing, spiritually speaking. Got to put on all these things. So you must know the enemy. Again, Jesus said, you know, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 25, there are many parables that Jesus gave during all his teachings. You know, here's an interesting one. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, the men were not his enemies, but there was one person that was his enemy. So the tares were not his enemy, but somebody sowed the tares, his enemy, the enemy of the good man that did the right thing at the first. So you got to know who your enemy is. Now, later on, you know, he would explain the tares. He said, he that sowed the good seed, you'll find this in verse 37 later on. He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. You know, so this is one of those parables where Jesus explained it on, you know, point blank. Told you what you don't have to guess. Just told you what it is. You know, the good man is the Son of Man. You know, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. You know, so Jesus just tells it. And the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy. See, you got to know the enemy. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Yeah, that's your enemy. So Jesus is giving us the, you know, understanding of the enemy. You harvest the end of the world, the reapers are the angels, and so on and so forth. You know, so you got to know your enemy. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus also made this declaration. He said, look, I'm the good shepherd. He's been talking about the good shepherd. I laid down his life, you know, that, you know, he's a real shepherd. Others are robbers and so on. That the good shepherd lays down his life. You know, the good shepherd will lay down in the gate. The sheep are behind him. He puts himself between those wicked animals that will try to come to the sheep. Lay down there in the night across the door. And Jesus said, me, you know, look at me right here. Say, I am the good shepherd. And I've come to give life. But the enemy, what does he do? What does he do? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So you got to know your enemy, and you got to know the tactics of the enemy. Many people don't know the enemy. You got to know these tactics, just like Pharaoh said. Well, let there be more work laid in upon them. Let them have more burdens, because they're thinking they want to go serve the Lord. They are idle. They are idle. The reason they have time to think about serving the Lord is because they have time on their hands. Put more burdens upon them. Those are the tactics of the devil. Laden them with more trouble. Let them have trouble in their families. Let them have more bills to pay. They are, you know, students, give them all kinds of exams. You know, make sure that they don't earn enough salary, so they got to work 2-3 jobs, so they won't have time for the Lord. You got to know the tactics of the devil. He uses all these tactics. You know, so in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul made his declaration. But, you know, people quote it, but can we really say that, you know, we understand these things like Paul was saying? You know, can you say it? He said, we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. We got to protect our minds so Satan should not get an advantage of us because we are not ignorant of his devices of the devil. Now, Paul wasn't ignorant. A lot of people, a lot of Christians are ignorant. You know, this is Paul's testimony. What is your testimony? You know, are you aware of the devices of the devil? How he tries to get control of your mind and the things that he's using to try to steal your joy, kill your dreams, destroy your life? Do you know his tactics? We should know the enemy. We got to know the enemy. You got to know the enemy, ladies and gentlemen. And that's number 3 of the rules of engagement. If you don't know your enemy, you'll be fighting the air. You know, and Paul said, look, I don't fight the air. You know, I know what I'm fighting. You know, I fight like somebody who knows what I'm doing. What does it mean to, you know, when you're fighting, to beat around the bush or shadow punching and so forth? what is Paul saying here? Well, when you're shadow boxing, there's no real target. You're just, you know, beating around the bush. You know, so, but Paul said, look, I don't do that. You know, I am laser focused, and I don't beat the air, which is to be like shadow boxing, but I know what I am fighting and I know what I am doing. And, you know, this man, he took time to understand his enemy and he took time to know what he had to do. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 26 is where you see where Paul is saying, I'm not beating the air and just fighting aimlessly. I know my enemy. You know, so you got to understand, the soldiers must understand their enemy. They even have intelligence. They gather, they study for, you know, for months, you know, because they can do that surgical strike. They have intelligence on the ground. They have other intelligence that they must obtain, you know, to know, you know, who their enemy is. I therefore, he said, so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that's beating the air, you know, just shadow boxing. I have a target and I know who I'm fighting. Praise the Lord. And you got to keep your body under too to be a soldier. You know, he's a good soldier and, you know, tangled not himself with the affairs of this world. Put his body under and so on. Now, that's number three. So we've talked about number one, know who you are, know whose you are. Number two, understand the mission. Number three, know the enemy. Number four, in the rules of engagement, you've got to prepare and train for the mission. Now, we know the mission. Yes, take back the kingdom, you know, for the Lord. Well, you know, as a territory, we got to go conquer. And when you're done conquering, you got to set up your banner there. Well, we read Ephesians 6, 10 and 18 tells you, you know, how you must train. You put up all the things, how you must suit up, how you must get ready. You got to prepare. There's some preparedness and some training. Part of the preparedness, Jesus said, you got to count the cost. That's right. Count the cost. I mean, are you able, you know, if you, when people are going to a war, a person that has 10,000 troops and they're going against someone that has 100,000 troops, they better sit down. Jesus said, he better sit down and count the cost, whether with his 10,000 troops, he can take the one that's 100,000. And if he cannot, better send an ambassage or an ambassador and try to make peace. Count the cost, Jesus was saying, you know, and he talked about it as though when you put your hands on the plow, you cannot look back. Soldiers, there's no going back. Soldiers for Christ, when you are enlisted and when you enlist, there's no going back. Count the cost. They'll tell you, you know, what it's going to be. You know, sometimes they're going to send you, you know, to foreign missions and different things, you know, and you might take one tour or two tours or whatever, but you've got to count the cost, you know. Don't just sign up just because you think it's an easy ride. No, you got to count the cost. So Jesus says this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. He said, no man, you know, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. You know, so no such soldier. And if you're always going to be looking back, no. But look straight on. You know your mission, you got to, you know, eyes on the target. When they go in for that, you know, surgical strike, they know, you know, the target. Hallelujah. And they know what they are looking for. And you got to keep your eye. You can't be distracted with anything else. You keep your eye on the target. Even when it is dark, they have their own night goggles and, you know, things, x-ray vision and things that they can see, because they have they have to focus on extracting the target or whatever it is they have to do. They must count the cost though. There's a cost of preparation. It's a cost that we must follow. You know, Paul talked about it in the 1 Corinthians 9 that we read. He even talked about putting his body under daily. You know, lest after preaching to others, he himself should be a castaway. You know, so, you know, Jesus He said, look, when you are going to war, count the cost. You got to count the cost, Jesus said. If you don't, you are not ready, well, better stay home. You know, one time God told Gideon, when he was getting his army together, 32,000, they started out. Told them, look, count the cost. Some of you, you are going to battle, you may not return. So if you are fearful, go home. And a lot of them went home. 22,000 just went back right away. And he was left with 10,000. God said, cool. But there's still too many, you know. And we're going to look for certain characteristics. Those who are akin and then who are, you know, who's got their antennas tuned and so forth. But you got to count the cost. And if you don't know how to count the cost, now, there's a parable that Jesus told in Luke chapter 14, you know, from verses 28 to 30. He said, look, when you're trying to do something, you've got to count the cost. You know, if you're enlisting in this army, the other day we read about Joel's army. If you're enlisting in this army, this Christ's army at the end, then you better know what you are doing. You know, Jesus said, which of you, Luke 14 and 28, intending to build a tower, will not sit down first and count the cost? You know, whether, you know, he has sufficient funds to finish it. Less happily, after he laid the foundation and he's not able to finish it, then everybody begin to mock him and say, this man started his house, but he couldn't finish it. So count the cost before you start. Now, or what king that is going to make war with another king will not sit down first and consider with his advisors, you know, whether, you know, my 10,000, I'm able to overcome this guy that has 20,000. You got to consider it, you know, and or else, you know, well, you better send an ambassador and try to make peace. Because you know you are going to lose if you go to hand-to-hand combat. So Jesus is saying, count the cost. And so when we are going in, and the cost is not, look, some people say, oh, you know, you give your life to Christ and everything is going to be all right. No. You know, count the cost. That devil is going to come at you. In the world, you shall have tribulation. John 16 and 33. Jesus said, count the cost. You know, you got, are you all in? As a question, as a good soldier of Christ, are you all in or are you going to pack it in the first sign of trouble? You know, are you going to be a good or fair weather believer? And when everything is good, then you know how to praise the Lord. And when you had adversity, what are you going to do? So you got to count the cost. You see, count the cost. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 says, count the cost. There will be times when you are on top and prospering. You say, those times rejoice. We say, but count the cost. There will also be times of adversity. Count the cost. This battle that you are going in, you might go come back wounded. You might come back crippled. You might not even come back. Count the cost. You know, and then when they pull them in the middle of the night for that training, that's top secret mission. They don't tell them anything. They can't tell their families, can't tell anybody. You know, what they're going to do. Well, what they are told, you got to count the cost. This is a precarious mission. Some of you might not make it back. You got to count the cost. But see, they're trained for that moment. They're trained for that moment. They're just trained for that moment. And, you know, I say, yeah, you got it. You know, we got this, you know. And they go in, but they got to count the cost. So that's number four. You got to prepare. You got to train. Jesus himself was training his disciples. He sent them out two by two, you know, ahead of him to the cities where he will himself go and said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. Luke chapter 10, go out, do these things and so forth. So they went out, they did it. They came back, they reported. It was a training mission. I'm trying to train them while he was still with them because they would have to do these things when he was not with them anymore. We trained them, sent them training. And that's why oftentimes he was disappointed. How long will I be training you until you get it? And sometimes when they didn't get it, you know, like, oh, this wicked generation, how long will I train you? huh? Okay, so he was always training them, trying to train them, also showing them how, you know, to lead by examples. In John chapter 13, when he took the towel and the bowl of water and washing their feet, at the end he said, if I be in your Lord and Master, that's what you call me, and you say, right, because I am so. But if I being so, have washed your feet, well, you ought to also do the same for one another. And we're training them, showing them how, you know, things and so forth. You got to train, prepare and train, prepare and train for the mission. Now, when you've done training, and when you know the mission, you practice, they got it right. 45 seconds was the goal for the mission. You got to go in and out, 45 seconds. You got to do it, you know, because the alarm will trigger after 45 seconds. You got 45 seconds. They turn the thing off and go 45 seconds, go in and out. You know, so after they get it right, then number five, you got to deploy and finally engage. You know, to deploy, you are going behind enemy lines. You're not deploying in your house. You are going to enemy territory. That's where you deploy. You're going there, going after the enemy, and you're going in with that surgical side. You've been trained now. You're prepared. You're ready. You got your gear on. You got everything. But now you got to deploy. The day of deployment comes. You got to take the fight to the devil. Praise God. Hebrews 13 and 13 says, we got to take the fight to the devil. Take it outside the camp. Don't stay in your comfort zone, you know. Some of us that go to church on Sundays, we are waiting for, you know, unbelievers to come. Well, they might come, but they may not come. You got to go, you know, when you want to fish, you got to go to where the fish are. You don't stay home hoping the fish will come to you. Who does that? You got to go out after the fish. You got to prepare. You got to train, right? You train, you learn, you know, some, you know, fish. Yeah, in America, they have a culture. The dad takes the son or daughter out, you know, and train them how to fish. You got to train them how to fish. You know, so you train them how to fish, train them how to do some things, right? And then when it's time, they got to go do it. And in fishing, you got to find the right bait. You got to find the right hook. You got to find, you know, all these things. You got to have the right gear. You got to be trained how to use it. But you got to go where the fish are. You're not going to stay in your house hoping the fish will come to you. That'll never happen. You know, you got to go where the fish are. You know, so, you know, the got to take the fight outside the camp, beyond the walls of the church, beyond our comfort zones. We got to take the fight to the devil where he's got people in chains. We got to take the fight to him in his own territory. And we got to disarm him. You know, Jesus told us a parable in Luke chapter 11. Well, it's actually more than a parable. So it was stronger. He said, look, you know, when a strong man keeps his goods and in his palace and everything, he thinks everything is cool. That he got everything. But say, when a stronger than he shall come upon him, it's going to disarm him. You know, so you're going to disarm the strong man, bind him, and spoil his goods. He's take away his armor in which he trusted, and all of these things, and you will disarm him. But you got to be stronger than he. So when he's stronger than he, so that's what the mission is training them. You got to be smarter than your enemies. You know, you got to anticipate, you know, and you got to do what they are not expecting. And they've done some intelligence. They know where, they know, you know, how we strike. You know, if they strike us and they, you know, you got to do proportional strikes. Well, sometimes the military will say, we got to do an unproportional strike because the proportional strike, they're expecting us to do this, they're expecting us to do that. So we're going to go do the unproportional thing. We're going to strike them in a way that they are not thinking. You got to outthink your enemy, you know. You got to disarm them. You got to take them out. You know, go for their bunkers and take out their ammunitions. Take those things out and, you know, destroy them so they have no power. You know, now, what is the power of the enemy? You know, He uses all these things, you know, works of unrighteousness, bitterness, you know, envy, strife, and unforgiveness, and backbiting, and sowing discord, and all of these things. These are his ammunitions. We got to go into the base and take those things out. You take them out. Glory to God. Then you disarm him pretty much. And now you can take his prisoners. You spoil the spoiler, and then you can take the prisoner from him. Glory to God. Now, so when you deploy, you're going to where the guy is keeping prisoners, where the enemy is keeping those prisoners, you're going to go, you know, surgical side, set them free. When a strong man armed keepeth his palace, Luke chapter 11 and verse 21, he thinks his good are in place. But when he's stronger than he shall come upon somebody that's smarter, more surgical, and kind of take him and take away from all his armor in which he trusted. Well, some of the taxes the military use is to take out, you know, their ammunition base and different things. You take it out, you know, what the enemy trusts in. Take them out. Take those things out. And they become powerless. You got to take out all the things that the devil is using as well. How do you do it? Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Glory to God. You know, we ourselves must, first of all, put our own body under when you are going for a fight. But you take the fight to the enemy. Glory to God. You take the fight to the enemy. Hallelujah. You got to conquer grounds. That's what we're trying to do. You know, when a foreign king comes in to take a territory, they've got to conquer that place and take that territory. You know, so we got to go out there, conquer, and take the territory for Christ. Now, some of those territories are the souls of men. And the devil is sitting pretty on them. We got to go in there and conquer and take him out. Glory to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you cast out the devil in people. Yeah, this is all part of your mission. Jesus said, when you go, he said, look, cleanse the lepers, you know, heal the sick, raise the dead even, you know, and preach the kingdom of God. You know, freely you have received, freely give. This is your mission. You got to go out there. You got to do it. Don't sit in your house and think that people will be saved. No. You got to go out to them and tell them about the Christ. You got to, you know, look, we got to understand the way, you know, of the kingdom. In order for people to be saved, you know, their eyes must be open. And then they must be delivered from the kingdom of darkness, you know, and brought into the power of God. You know, sometimes, you know, if you don't deliver them from the power of Satan, they can't be saved and their eyes cannot be opened. You know, so God gave us this secret in the scriptures. You know, Paul was talking about this. He said, look, when Christ appeared unto me, you can read, let's read Acts chapter 26, I believe it is. Let's look at verse 18 or so. Paul was talking about this. He said, this is what Christ gave me. He knew the pattern. He knew how he had to do it. And listen to how he said it. So it's his strategy. He said, you know, the Lord told me, rise, stand your feet. I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which I will appear unto you. This is Acts chapter 26 and verse 16. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send you. Now, look at the strategy. This is how you do it. Open their eyes. Turn them from darkness to light. Deliver them from the power of Satan and turn them unto God, so that they can receive forgiveness of sins. I mean, all these things must be done. You know, when we try to set people free from the power of Satan, the Holy Spirit will have to open their eyes. As long as they are blinded, they cannot see anything. This is why, you know, if you're going out, witnessing and so forth, you got to pray. Part of the preparation is prayer, that God will open the eyes of the people that you're going to speak to. Because as long as their eyes are closed or blinded, you can preach all day long. You're not going to get anything. So their eyes must be open. Pray for that. And you come against the devil that's put the scales on their eyes, even before you go out. Pray that their eyes must be open, and that the Lord will be able to turn them from darkness to light. What turns them from darkness to light? The power of the gospel, you know. And then, but you also know that, look, some of them are bound by the power of Satan. You know, their minds are so bound, they can't think straight. Huh? The Bible says you have to pull some out as by fire. You have to do that too. Cast out the devils. Well, you have to do all this in order for them to understand how to receive forgiveness of sins, in order for them to understand how to place their faith in Christ. Because their minds are blocked. They can't understand it. You tell them, give your life to Christ, they don't know what it means. You know, so because the power of the devil is blocking their minds, you got to bind those things, deliver them from that, then they will understand and then receive inheritance that God has in store for them. So you got to know, when you engage, take it behind enemy lines and do those things. Now, number six, you got to destroy and vanquish the enemy. These are the things I was just saying. That's what God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:10. God also tells us these things in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, verses 3 to 6. He says, look, you know, weapons of our warfare are not carnal, right? Even though we are, you know, looks like we are just ordinary human beings. No. Jeremiah looked like an ordinary human being, but no. God said, you have power over nations. Well, weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, pulling down all strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We come against them in the spirit realm. That's right. Bring captivity into captivity. Every thought, you know, anything that's flying in your space that doesn't belong, you shoot it down. An enemy brings thoughts into your mind that doesn't belong there, you shoot down those thoughts. Bring everything into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. And you yourself make sure you are obedient. You're ready to avenge all obedience, but your own obedience must first be fulfilled. I mean, this is how we do it. We vanquish, we take no prisoners. you know, root out, pull down, throw down, destroy, then you build and you plant. Praise the Lord. So that's number six, is destroy, vanquish the enemy, take no prisoners. Jesus said, when you get there and you see a legal alien, that's a devil. It's called demonic powers that are occupying the lives of people. They're illegal aliens. They don't belong. You know, because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Demon spirits in the life of people, they're illegal occupants. They don't belong there. Jesus said, cast them out. Don't have conversation with them. Cast them out. Glory to God. You know, have no partnership with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them and rather cast them out. That's how you do it. You know, and you take no prisoners, cast them out. And after you've done that, then number seven is you establish and you set up your banner. This is what they do in military. When you take the place, you gotta put the banner of the United States now. You're taking the place. Even the man Neil Armstrong, when he landed on the moon, you got to put the banner of the United States. Say, well, we got here first. You know, you got to put it there. You know, so, you know, you put the banner up. What is the banner? What does it look like? Well, it means you mark your territory. The devil is always marking his territory. You know, the Antichrist at the end of the age too, he's going to seal his own with the mark of the beast. And anyone that takes that, they are doomed forever. Well, the Holy Spirit will also seal his own. It's called, you know, the Holy Spirit seal unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 4:30. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by which you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, you teach people that they also need to receive the Spirit of God. You set up your banner, Psalm 20 and verse 5. The psalmist said, you know, in the name of the Lord, we will set up our banners. You know, after you've conquered the place, well, you got to put up the banners of righteousness. You can't, you know, people can't go back into sin. No, you got to put up those banners of righteousness. That's what you do. When you conquer the place, you bring the, when the kingdom comes and takes the territory, put up their banners. You make those people that you just conquered to learn your language. You know, UK, you know, colonize a place. Everybody in that place has to now speak English. You know, they have to learn the culture because, you know, that's the ruling country. They come in there and now you have to speak English. Even though you didn't speak English before, France colonized a place. They got to speak, you know, Spain and all these people colonized a place. The people now have to speak Spanish and so on and so forth. You know, now they got to speak the language of heaven. Teach them the language of heaven, which is love your enemies. You know, that's different now. You know, so you colonize the place, you set up your banners. That's right. You know, let's read Psalm 20 and verse 5. It says, you know, we will rejoice in thy salvation, O Lord, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. You know, any place that you take, set up your banner, put up righteousness there, and teach them the way of the Lord. Psalm 60. And verse 4, I'm going to wrap this up quickly. I'm looking at the time now here. I got to finish this quickly. Psalm 60 and verse 4. Remember, we're talking about rules of engagement, which is the E in the epic story. We've got to do this. See, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, you know, that it may be displayed because of the truth. You know, you conquer this place, you know, you wear the badge, you know, proudly. I remember when I was a young man, I always used to wear a brooch. You know, I used to make those brooches in those days. I don't know where they are anymore. You know, Jesus saves. That was the one I loved. You know, there were many there back then, the days of scripture, you know. But I used to wear one called Jesus Saves. Everywhere I was on the campus, I wore that one. You know, I remember one of my colleagues didn't even know my name. He used to call me Jesus Saves. I met him years after the campus, met him somewhere on the streets of Lagos, saying, Jesus Saves! You know, that was what he thought, you know, because, you know, I wore that thing proudly. Hallelujah. We used to wear t-shirts and different things. We wear proudly. We're proud of who we are. You know, we display boldly. You know, and these people of this world today, they are proud to be LGBTQ, XYZ. You know, well, let's be proud to display that we are sons of God. That's right. Back down from anybody. Glory to God. Yeah, thank God for freedom of expression. You know, they have a right to say whatever. I have a right to say what who I am too. You know, that's the way it is. Don't back down. Praise the Lord. And set up your banners, you know, and so forth. It's like branding. You got to brand the place. The Lord will now brand the place, you know, just like, you know, the devil brands his own. We got to put on the breastplate of the priesthood now. And, don't let up. In the book of Revelation 3, I'm coming to the end of this now. I'm trying to get through this quickly. In the book of Revelation 3, let me just read to you one quick, verse there. You know, this is, you know, part of the things that we will do. And Jesus does the same thing. He said, look, he that overcometh, Revelation 3 and 12, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more. I will write upon him the name of my God. That's branding. You know, cattle ranchers, they put that hot oil in the brand name, hot iron in the fire, and brand the backside of that cattle man. You know, they do it because that's how they brand it. Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I will write upon him my name, the name of my God. That's a branded. Put up the banner. Holy Spirit, taking control of your life. Glory to God. Now, you know, so we put on the breastplate and we teach people the same thing, you know. And so these are the rules of engagement. Let me wrap this up here. In this year going forward, we must engage. And I'm going to bring it right around to telling you how walking with God is doing that as well. And all these things I said was for you as an individual to do these things and to know the fight that you are in. Again, you are a soldier for Christ. You got to know who you are. You got to know whose you are. You got to know, you know, what God has made you. You got to know the mission. You got to understand these things. You got to know how to engage. Yeah, all these things that we have talked about today. You know, you got to take the territory. You got to take it for Christ. Praise the Lord. And, you know, these are the things that God wants us to understand. Paul himself talked about having on his body the marks of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is branded. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, he said, henceforth, let no man trouble me after this, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a lot of times that he was beaten, many stripes. He said one time, 39 stripes I received of the Jews, many times. You know, and, you know, so these are the marks, you know, these are the marks that I'm a soldier for Christ. People were proud to suffer for his name. And they were thrown in prison, cut asunder, done all these things. They were proud. They stood tall for Christ. Glory to God. You know, persecution is part of that banner that we put up. You know, you don't back down just because somebody threatens your life. You know, those young men, they were ready to go in the fire. It didn't matter. Daniel was ready to go in the lion's den. It didn't matter. It's a branding. You know, they are sold out for Christ. Praise the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we also must put on the garment of the priesthood. We talked about that the other day, yesterday, and don't take it off. So that's our lesson for engagement. Father, I thank you for the rules of engagement. Let the Holy Spirit interpret these things to us. That we must go out, we must train, prepare for the mission to take back the kingdom for Christ, one soul at a time. Praise the Lord. And thank you, Lord, for revealing to us who our real enemy is, to know that we're not fighting flesh and blood. And we know that, you know, our mission is to vanquish. Our mission is to root out, to pull down, to throw down, and to destroy. That's our mission. The second part of it is we build and plant the kingdom of God in men's hearts. So we thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise and give you the glory. Everyone that has sat on the fence, you know, up to now, may they be engaged, empowered to engage, get in the fight. Glory to God. You must fight. Give the Lord will give you the victory because he has already won. Said, I've overcome for you. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.